Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Social Podcast Network. Check us out. Check out our Facebook, Instagram. Send me a message. Whatever. How's it going? Feel pretty good today. Grateful. Attitude, gratitude. Right? I started off my day, though, with, the fact is I have to have conversations with people sometimes that aren't always that great. And the fact is I had to have a conversation this morning with Comcast. I had a, when we initially had started our network, we were using a different room and we had brought Comcast in to give us some Wi-Fi so we could upload our podcasts. And then the place had been given to us. The guy's like, yeah, use it. No one's using it. But if I rent it out, you got to get out. I was like, absolutely. No one had been in that place for 2 years, right? And so we get all excited. I go in, I clean the place out, fix it up. A month later, I rented out the restaurant. You got to get out. What the fuck is this world? Run to you, didn't. Leave a message, at least I. Could have learned your voice one last time. Daily mind feels this good. So we had to get out, said a little nicer than that. But the fact is we had to get out. That was the deal. No big deal. No problem. We'll move on. We'll find something else. But in the meantime, this restaurant, these people came in, took over the restaurant, brought in Comcast, basically installed a new Comcast account over the top of mine, meaning I had no account anymore. And this is all like February, April. So it was like, right when this whole COVID shit was starting, and it was just a real weird time. And I had called Comcast and I'm like, listen, this is what's going on. The guy's like, oh, you need to cancel this because of COVID, wink, wink. And I was like, sure, that sounds good. So we canceled it. Thank you. Well, it wasn't but a month or two later, all of a sudden I start getting these calls from Comcast. It's going to go to collections. You owe us all this money. And I'm like, we canceled it. I'm right. They're wrong. We canceled it. And I would explain the story, and I had called Comcast one day, and I'm like, listen, this is what's going on. Because one day a van shows up, I go over there, I'm like, listen, I got a Comcast account here. How can you put more Comcast in? This isn't a time for more Comcast. The guy's like, listen, I'm going in there. Whatever's there, I'm taking out. I'm putting in a new account. That's all I know. Total asshole. And I'm like, geez. I'm like, whatever. So they did it. I had talked to a lady before. She goes, listen, the only saving grace that you have is they cannot put a Comcast account in on top of an existing account. I was like, sweet. I'm good. Unless they use a different address. I was like, oh. Sure enough, here comes a Comcast van installing new Comcast. I talked to the dude. He's like, forget it. This is what I'm doing. Your ass out. I'm like, oh. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's them breaking the deal of the contract that I had with them. Right? That's what contracts are about. They protect you. Well, I didn't have any protection. So I finally talked to this guy, and I'm like, listen, this is what's going on. You guys are in the wrong. He goes, well, how about we cancel this because of COVID? I was like, that sounds great. I think I'm done with this. It's over. Well, like I said before, all of a sudden they start calling, and Comcast is relentless when they think that you owe them money. I mean, they just won't let go. Every day my phone rings, every day. And I've answered it a few times, and we've tried to work through this problem a couple times. But we never have gotten to an end. And today my phone rings again. I finally answer it. And it's just annoying to try to communicate with these people. You know, they want you so badly to go use their website. They want you so badly to use their mobile app to handle all of your Comcast problems. And I will, in their defense, say that we just had to upgrade our Wi-Fi modem, yada, yada thing at the house. My wife called, told her, you know, we were dealing with other billing issues with Comcast. It's always a billing issue with these guys. And one of the, well, we handled it. They sent us a new modem. I sent the new modem, the other modem back. They were really great. The new modem, I signed up on their XF1 app, whatever it is, and it's actually really pretty awesome. We were having some cable problems the other night. We went on the app, you know, checked it out. It was very informative, very helpful. We solved the problem through the app. I get it. Don't call us anymore. Use our app. I got you. But this had to be handled this way. So I'm on the phone, and then, of course, I'm talking to the guy that's collecting. Tell him my problem again. He's like, oh, this is for a different department. They send me to a different department. I finally get a hold of this lady. She's foreign. That's fine. I don't care, you know. The crazy part of every time I get into this department is when I talk to this person, I can hear my voice echo. Has that ever happened to you? That is so annoying. Like when you, like somebody will call you and there's an echo and you're like, hey, let me call you right back. I got a bad connection. Every time I talk to this freaking person, there's a bad, it's not, I don't know if it's a bad connection or I'm on speaker, but I'm trying to say my story. I don't even, maybe they do it on purpose because I'm trying to tell her my story and I keep hearing my own voice in delay. So I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. It's driving me freaking crazy. Anyway. Finally get to the end. And, you know, so as a person that is sober and has worked 12 steps in the program and I'm trying to be a better person and trying to be more thoughtful, I'm trying not to be an asshole. And listen, I can be an asshole. I struggle. I can even, I've had people say, maybe next time you'll be nicer to me. And I'm like, Jesus, I was really thinking I was trying to be nice. So even in the efforts of trying to be nice, sometimes I come off as an asshole. I apologize. And, but so, you know, I'm trying to use all the things I've learned from the program. I'm trying to be patient. I'm not trying to attack. And, you know, at the end, she's like, well, listen, you're going to owe $238 and, you know, is that okay? And I'm like, no, I don't want to pay you anything. I feel like I have done nothing. I didn't hear the whole story. I told her the whole story. You know, I felt like I was in the right. She's like, well, the what you're being charged for is the equipment. And I'm like, well, I never even had equipment. There was a restaurant that was there prior to me taking over this little room. They bailed in the middle of the night. Left everything, including their Wyatt Comcast box. So when the guy I initially called and set this thing up, the guy came and he's like, listen, you got this Comcast up there. I'm just going to reactivate it and just use that. I was like, fine, I don't care. Whatever. Sounds good. Well, this lady's like, we need the box back. That's your, you know, you owe us, you have the box. I'm like, I don't have a box. I have nothing. I'm like, I don't even want a box. I said, we just got a new box at our personal home residence. I returned that box, the new one. I mean, that's how much. If I had a box, I want to turn it in. I don't need it. I don't want it. Can't do anything with it. Why would I want that? So, in the end, she goes through this whole bill with me. And it turns out, surprisingly enough, like I might owe him a little money. Once it's all broken down, turns out I owed him some money. I said, send me the bill. I'm going to pay it. I apologize. But I can totally see in the past, and now I'm actually at a weird place in sobriety, 12 years. I mean, you know, the pink cloud's gone. You know, I'm just living. And, you know, 5-6 years into the program or the stint of sobriety, you know, I'm super chill, you know, I'm trying to be good. But, you know, that shit's worn off, right? I'm tired of being just the recovering alcoholic. So it's easy now, because of the time, for me to slip in and out of assholeness. And that sounded strange. Not slipping in and out. People, stop it. But fading, you know, glimpses of it showing back up. And, you know, somehow I got through it. Oh, I think I've resolved the problem. And I'm sorry I wasted your time telling you the story. But listen, that's, you know, I didn't get sober for this. This is all the shit that, this is life. You know, I talked about it in my last podcast. Life became unmanageable. In those days, my life was unmanageable to other people, like Comcast people. Like my behavior, my sadness, the dark place that I lived came out sometimes as asshole. And whoever was on the other end of it was the one that suffered. That's why I said, you know, my life became unmanageable to other people. They'd been tired of hearing me say I'm sorry. They'd been tired of, you know, fixing shit and, you know, all this stuff that I'd have to do, you know, to make amends for this life I was living. My life had become unmanageable to everybody else. So today, as a sober person, I try to be the least amount of a problem to other people. Even though I'm in the right, right? Even though it's justified. Justified bad behavior? I used to love that. Oh, is that justified bad behavior? I'm in. And today I can't live like that. Because if I'd have been an asshole to this lady, I would have felt bad about it all day. And I tell you what, man, at 52 years old, those are hard days. It is weird for me getting older, you know. I talked about it the other day. It's just sometimes it's hard to be happy, you know, and I have everything a person could want. I mean, I'm not rich, but I mean, I have a job. I have 3 wonderful children. I have a wonderful wife. I have my own car. I own a business. I get to podcast. I get to share my story. I don't owe anybody. Besides the, you know, the typical things. But, you know, I'm not in debt to some person. I'm not looking over my shoulder. I live a wonderful existence. And some days I'm just not happy about it. Cynical. You know, I feel like there's days I've seen it all. Heard it all, seen it all. And that was starting to reflect my life in AA. You know, it's easy to blame COVID for the reason I'm not going to meetings, but I wasn't going to a lot of meetings prior to COVID. I'd become cynical. This person's never going to make it. It's not my job to judge, be critical. My job is to have my hand out. You know? Welcome. And I feel like going through all this and this lack of meetings has really, you know, made me aware of it. And I'm ready. I needed a reset. You know, thank God that the reset didn't require me having to drink some vodka. You know, I don't think I'll ever drink again. But I didn't think I would drink the first time. So I'm not going to say it can't happen. But I've definitely paid a lot more attention to the steps and the tools that have been given me in the program for days like this, where I have to be a little more careful. You know, I can still wake up with shame and guilt, not because I drank, but because I was an asshole, inconsiderate, self-centered. I've always said I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That's why when I talked about that first step, we admitted was a, it's a surrender. It's an act of humility. I give up. You got me. I give up. We admitted we were powerless. I'm powerless over situations like this lady with the Comcast. Powerless to me is like being in a sack, one of those, you know, the like coffee bean sacks, being stuffed in a sack and thrown in a pool with weights on it. I'm helpless. I mean, I can fight, I can kick, I can scream, but shit, it ain't. The outcome isn't going to be any different. I'm going to the bottom and I'm drowning. In these conversations with people like Comcast or, you know, I own a hair salon. We've been having some leaks in the wall. The guy just called me, says I'm bringing a guy over. This is a good opportunity, a justified moment to be an asshole. But what I've learned is that this is the opportunity for me to be gracious, grateful, considerate. I called about this a few weeks ago. I haven't made any more calls. And then, you know, but I was thinking, I wonder if they're going to do anything. But, you know, let the process through. And he texted me today, I'm stopping by with the roofer, check out these leaks and see what we can do. There you go. Just being a better person to others. It's not always easy. You know, that first step, it's the problem with the first step is that it's so simple sounding that I skirted right by it. I'm like, oh yeah, of course I'm a drunk. Of course I can't stop. Next. And there's so much to it. Just taking the time to really think about it and give it the respect that it deserves. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. I mean, what does that even mean? I mean, to you, that step has evolved and changed over the years to a place now where I'm like, you know, we admitted, we, takes a group, admitted, we gave up, we surrendered. I mean, when I put that first drink in me, I'm literally powerless. I can be like, don't do it. Nah, fuck it, I'm doing it. No power. We admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. There was a time when I used to say, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable because of alcohol. That was my first kind of analysis of it. Like, oh, all my problems are because I drink. That's not the case. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol because our lives had become unmanageable to other people. Because I used to say I didn't have a life before I got sober. I had no life. I worked, I drank, I slept, I worked, I drank, I slept, I argued with my parents. I worked, I drank, I slept, I argued with my neighbor. There was no life. I didn't get a life till I got sober. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable to other people. I mean, when I first came in, I wanted to get sober. I was done. I've had enough. Really? Really? I wanted to stop getting caught at drinking. And I wasn't very good at it. And I always got caught. And I didn't change anything or make any effort to do anything about it until I got caught. And believe me, when I got caught, I assassinated everybody that loved me. And then apologizing and, you know, making deals, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Until the end, but I had nobody. Driving down Route 1 with a bunch of... And you know, the interesting thing is that... So 14 years ago, so today is my son David's birthday, he turns 15. 14 years ago, I put down the drink. This is really like my anniversary. I'm sober from alcohol for 14 years. My last drink was today, 14 years ago. I stayed up all night partying, drinking, doing, you know, whatever. Didn't sleep, got up the next day, met my ex-wife who had left me because I was a dumbass and a drinker and I couldn't shut my mouth, left me, and we had arranged that I would take David today, 14 years ago, up to, because it was his birthday, up to Toys R Us in Dover, and I was going to buy him some, you know, some birthday presents. You know, I probably, when I had made this arrangement, I was probably not planning to drink and snort cocaine and smoke weed all the night before. But that's what I did. And the next morning, I had to meet her. I'm fucking out of my mind with guilt and shame. I go meet her, take David to Dover, buy as much stuff as I can buy to get rid of this pain. And on the way back from Dover, I called a friend of mine who had the Colonial House up in Pennsylvania, and he drove 4 hours and came and got me. And that would be my last drink. 14 years ago today was my last drink. I didn't even realize that until I started talking about this. It's crazy. But it would be 2 years later where I would change my sobriety date one more time because I was taking them damn pain pills, which had started back in 99. And, yeah. So, grateful to be sober. It's not my anniversary. It's my anniversary from not drinking, but as far as being clean from drugs and alcohol, that wouldn't take place for 2 more years. I'm really grateful to be sober. I hope everyone's out there is hanging in there. It's a tough time. And it's on a daily basis. Like 2 days ago, I was really struggling. Yesterday, today I feel pretty good. You know, it changes every day. Yeah, if anybody wants to send a message, reach out. You can reach out through my Instagram. Share your story. If you hate what I'm doing, let me hear it. Maybe I'll quit. If you love what I'm doing, I appreciate it. This isn't going to save the world. This podcast is really about sharing the fact that when I put down the drink, I thought we were good. It was in the clear, and it was just the beginning of a labyrinth of a journey. And you know, here I am today, still sober, and just want to share some of the things that I've gone through. Falling in love with being sober has to be more powerful than the fear of drinking again, and that transition happened somewhere in the middle, and I'm really grateful for that. And I just love being sober. Like I said, if anybody's out there having trouble, reach out. Reach out to somebody. Share your story. Share it. Talk to somebody out loud. Listen, this is what's going on. I'm struggling. I'm worried. I have fear. It cuts it in half. Have a great day.